Psalm 103, and we want to bring the message from this portion and passage of Scripture. Again, I know how much Brother Andrew and those that are helping to hold the services down here, how much it means to Pastor Gravely and to our church, and we're grateful for them and for their leadership and for the Lord using them in a great way. I don't know if we realize tonight, but Bible Baptist Church is an unusual church. It is a rare church, if I could put it that way. We have traveled in many churches across the country and around the world, and there's not too many churches you can go into with the spirit and the life that we have here at Bible Baptist Church, with the great leadership and preaching that we have with Pastor Gravely, and the spirit and the singing and the testimonies. There's just not too many places you can go. Thank God there's a few scattered around, but none that I know of that compares to the church we have here tonight. And I know that that's due to our pastor and also to our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, and everyone that sings in the choir, and just overall the faithful attendance of God's people. Now, if you have your Bible tonight in the book of Psalm 103, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, if we may, tonight. Psalm 103, and I'll begin reading down in verse number 1. Psalm 103, verse number 1. This is a psalm of David. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And then notice in the closing verse, in verse number 22, "Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his domain or dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's pray. Our fathers, we bow before you tonight. We are grateful for the opportunity to be back here tonight at our home church. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people and for the faithfulness of those that are involved in missions and some aspect of ministry. We thank you for our pastor and for his family and Mr. Alita, and I pray, God, that you'll give this week and the coming days a refreshing time for them. Lord, may you meet their every need, and I pray that you'll meet our needs tonight. Father, may you help us and hide us behind the cross. May everything we say tonight bring glory and honor to Christ, and may it point everyone that's in hearing distance, whether it's by live streaming or here locally in our services tonight, may everything said and done point folks to Christ. And ask now that your blessings be upon this service, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading through this passage of Scripture, and I believe I've shared maybe in times past, and I certainly don't want to be overly redundant, but I remember when we were members of Dogwood Valley Baptist Church, and now as I travel around various churches throughout the region, pastors or men that came out from under that ministry in other areas, often they will close their services by lifting the hands and quoting Psalm 103, verse number 1, and sometimes verse number 2. I learned that passage of Scripture by closing the services there at that particular church in my young Christian days. And I've never really preached off the text or anything, but recently I was reading through the psalm, and I came to Psalm 103, and where David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then he says in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And all of a sudden my heart stopped, and I began to think, what a tragedy that David would have to remind us not to forget the benefits that God's bestowed upon us. And so tonight, by the help of God, for just a few moments tonight, I would like to preach on this subject matter, taking things for granted. I'm afraid there's too many things in our life that we take for granted, and we really get involved day by day, and God blesses us abundantly, and we honestly come to the place we don't even recognize the blessings of God anymore. Unless God does something out of the extraordinary, or God goes above and beyond something we've been praying or asking for, we seem to just accept it and go right on. And rarely do we take time to stop and thank God for his daily benefits and blessings unless he does something, as I said, extraordinary. There's quite a danger that creeps into every life of every believer, and that is the fact that it's not just open rebellion, and it's not outright sinful deeds, but it's just outright forgetfulness. We forget the blessings of God. And so David said, forget not all of his benefits. It's when blessings become normal. It's when mercies become expected. It's when God's goodness is taken for granted. And I wish I could stand before you tonight and say that I've never done any of that, but I would be lying if I did. Therefore, I'll not say it. There have been times and seasons in my life where I have just gone down through life and I've just honestly expected it and took it for granted and never stopped to take time to thank God for all of his benefits. David knew about this danger. I have a suspicion, according to the text, that David had found himself there on different occasions. And so David said to you and I, forget not all of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he says, forget not all of his benefits. I want to give you just a few simple thoughts tonight and we'll be done. And first, I'd like to look at the fact that there is a tendency to forget the blessings of God. For David said, as I quoted earlier, forget not all of his benefits. It's human nature that we would forget. We would forget the blessings that God's given to us. It's part of our human nature. Sometimes we get a little bit up in years and, sometimes our wives or our husbands may have what's known as selective hearing. Other times there's Alzheimer's and sometimes there's dementia, but oftentimes it's just pure forgetting by choice. We just take things for granted in our life. It's human nature that we forget. Israel, for example, forgot the blessings of God while they were being delivered out of the land of Egypt. They murmured in the wilderness about food and how it was better to eat the leeks and the garlics in the land of Egypt while they were eating manna that God had gave them from heaven. They complained about water while traveling underneath a pillar of cloud by day. And God had blessed them and gave them water from great depths. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can go from thank you, Lord, to why me, Lord? We take for granted the blessings of God. We take for granted the blessings of salvation. How long has it been since we as God's people have literally taken time out of our schedule in our prayer life and bowed on our knees or at least bowed our heart to heaven and said, God, I'd like to thank you for the day I got saved and bought into the family of God, blood bought, purchased by the shed blood of Christ. Thank you for my salvation. How long has it been since we just bowed on our knees and thanked God for the health that we have? I tell you, until we start to lose our health or we see our loved ones sometimes begin to deteriorate, we often take those things for granted. As a young man, I would see elderly people and they would go through deep struggles and sometimes family members. And I think to myself, because I was in vibrant health and I just hadn't been old yet, and I would think to myself, why in the world are they acting that way? Get over it. And now I'm finding out that no doubt young whippersnappers are looking at me saying, why is he doing that? Why don't he just get over it? You know, when you get out of bed and every bone in your body creaks and every muscle aches and stretches and it feels like every sinew in your body's been stretched like a rubber band, you know you're getting old. We ought to never take our health for granted and the blessings God's bestowed upon us, our family and our children and our spouse, our friends and our church. We should never come to the conclusion that we just take for granted our pastor. There have been many churches with good pastors who their pastor has gone prematurely to be with the Lord, or God has brought something into their life. And may I say to you, may we never, never, never take for granted our church. May we never take for granted our pastor. May we never take for granted our pastor's wife and our deacons and our Sunday school teachers and our song leaders and our special singers. And may we never, never, never take for granted tonight the blessings that God's bestowed upon us. I don't want to open wounds tonight, God forbid. But you ask the one who has recently lost a son or a daughter or a mother or a father or a spouse or a close friend or a relative. One thing about death, it brings into reality the frailty of life. And they'll tell you not to take your loved ones for granted. Never take for granted the Word of God. Sometimes we're like children at Christmas. We get a gift that we like, that God blesses us with, and we experience this over the years of our children and even our grandchildren, where they get something that they absolutely love. It's their favorite toy for at least 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month, and then it's forgotten in the back of the toy box of the toy bin. And I believe that sometimes we do that with God's blessings and His benefits. God blesses us and they're fresh on our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and we are consumed with the praise of God. And we go on through life and it becomes a daily routine and daily habit, and we soon forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Don't let what used to be a blessing become a cursing and a dread in your life. Don't let it become something that you barely even notice anymore. Secondly, the reality of God's daily benefits. Notice the Bible says, David said, benefits, plural. It's not just that we have a benefit, we have benefits. Multiple blessings. God doesn't just bless us occasionally. He blesses us daily. His blessings are consistent. His blessings are day by day, moment by moment, we walk in the blessings of God. The Bible says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, that's salvation. He said, who healeth all thy diseases, that's God's sustaining grace with our health. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, that's God's divine protection. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness, that's God's unmerited favor. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, and that's God's divine provisions. May we never, never, never take for granted the blessings and the benefits of God. Every day we wake up, we're walking in the benefits that we don't deserve. Every time I stand in a pulpit, I stand undeserving, but honored that He's called. Every time I take the Bible and I open the divine pages of God's eternal book, I never want to take for granted that I have a blessed Bible that is divinely inspired by God, given to me personally to help me and to lead me and guide me and direct me in my life. May we never take for granted this blessed book. The Lamentations, the Bible tells us in chapter number 3, verse 22 and verse number 23, He says it of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. They are new every morning, He closes the text with. Thank God every morning we wake up in the benefits of Almighty God that He's bestowed upon us. You don't have to thank God every time your heart beats, so you think. But if your heart ever stops beating, you'll thank God for every time it beats. You'd realize how much you depend upon it. We don't deserve the air we breathe. We don't deserve the blood that flows through our veins. We don't deserve Bible Baptist Church, and we don't deserve Pastor Ricky Gravely, and we don't deserve our deacons and Sunday school teachers and those of this church and our membership. And we don't deserve each other, but it's a benefit that God's given us. We're here tonight because of the benefits of God that He's bestowed upon us. I remember when my mother was moved into our home and she was put on hospice, and they'd given her several months actually to live. And she ended up living just a little over a week. She made it through her birthday and passed away and went home to be with the Lord on the next day. And she had COPD. I remember they had her on 2 oxygen machines to pump oxygen into her lungs. And I remember when the hospice nurse came by and my sister and some of the family was there, and she said, "Miss Rellis, can I speak to you privately for a moment?" And she pulled me aside and she said, "I'm going to be honest with you." She said, "Your mother's going to die a horrible death because of the impact that COPD is having on her body and the way she's reacting to it." She said, "It's a very severe case, far above normal." And she says, "Miss Rellis, this is going to be a hard counsel that I'm going to give you, but," she said, "I highly encourage you to allow me to unplug the oxygen machines from your mother and let her pass." Now, to me, I interpreted that as, "I'd like for you to let me murder your mother." And I said, "No, ma'am. We'll let God do God's thing, and she'll live until God sees fit to call her." And I remember, though, her gasping for every single breath with 2 machines. And I remember when I'd walk into her room, even after she had lost consciousness, and as she'd gasp for every single breath, I remember going to the corner and bowing on my knees and saying, God, I don't know if I've ever bowed my knees and thanked you for the breath that I take into my lungs every time I breathe. But God, I want to take a moment and thank you for air. Thank you for breath and thank you for life that you bestowed upon us. Reminded of the missionary that was baptizing his converts, and caustic and critical, a man came up to him and said to the banks, "Hey, preacher, hey, missionary." He said, "Where can a man find God?" He said it antagonistically. The missionary didn't respond. He finished baptizing a couple of the converts that were still to be baptized. He looked up at the man. He said, "Sir, you want to know where you can find God?" He said, "Why don't you come into the waters with me?" The man entered into the waters with him, and the missionary took him and acted like he was going to baptize him and submerged him under the water and held him and held him and held him again. The man begins to fight to come up out of the water, and the missionary is holding him underneath the water so that he cannot breathe. Just in the nick of time, he pulls him up out of the water. The man looks at him and says, "What are you trying to do to kill me?" He said, "No, sir, but you asked me how and where a man could find God." He said, "I have a question for you." He said, "What did you want more than anything? What would you have given everything you own in this world for when I had you submerged under the water?" He said, "I'd have gave everything I own for just one more breath of air." The missionary in his wisdom said to him, he said, "When you're willing to seek God with everything you have, and not until then will you find him." My friend, we don't desire light until we're engrossed in darkness. We don't desire grace until we so desperately need it. I'm saying tonight that we have a tendency to forget the blessings of God, the benefits of God. And David said, "Forget not all of his benefits." If God never did one more thing for us, any of us, he's already done more than we deserve. More than enough, more than we could ever repay in multiple lifetimes. Forget not all his benefits. Then the danger of spiritual complacency. There is a danger that comes with complacency in our life, of forgetting the blessings and the benefits of God. When we take things for granted, we begin to drift spiritually in our heart. Prayer becomes routine. There's no fervency about it. There's no intercessory about it whatsoever. It just becomes systematic. I've got to pray and get it over with before I go to sleep. I got to pray and get all my checks on my list, prayer list, off. My friend, that's talking to God, but I'm not convinced that's praying to God. Peter was in all-night prayer meetings with the Lord. He was with him in the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus went and prayed. While the disciples stayed to pray, but as soon as he had finished praying, he cut off the ear of Malchus, and he denied the Lord just shortly after on the same evening. After prayer, what then? Prayer has a danger of becoming routine when we take for granted the blessings of God, and there is a spiritual complacency that sets in. We become formality. Worship becomes mechanical. It's been a few years ago, we was in a church and it was dead. I mean, it was dead, dead. Ichabod wouldn't have been justice, wouldn't have done justice to the church. It was so dead. And I had a tendency, when the preacher finally said something that was worthy of an amen, I just said generally and casually and mildly, "Amen." And you would have thought, and a bomb had exploded inside the church. People jumped, they squeamished, they looked, they stared. And my friend, with the taking things for granted from God, his blessings, there comes a spiritual decay, a complacency in our life. There is a worship that becomes mechanical in our hearts and in our lives. I'm for raising hands, I'm for shouting, running the aisle, swinging from the chandeliers. Do anything you want to worship God. It's not going to bother me a bit. But we better be sure our feet, when they hit the ground, are running for Christ. Church becomes optional. The Bible becomes familiar but loses its power in our life when we forget the benefits of God's blessings. Jesus warned the church at Ephesus when he said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, he said, "Thou hast left thy first love." What is he saying? The love that indwelled with them, the love they had for Christ, they had left that love that they had had when they were converted to Christ. They had forgot what God had done for them. They didn't lose it. They left it. Taking things for granted will cool our spiritual fervency and temperature. A marriage doesn't usually just fall apart overnight. It happens gradually. I don't want to get into all negative things tonight, but I could tell you of home after home after home and preacher after preacher after preacher, both missionaries, evangelists, and pastors, youth pastors and workers, that have lost their entire families and ministries. I remember one particular man, if there was anyone, we went out soul winning, visiting, we went on, and let me not say that, you may pinpoint who it is, and I don't want to bring reproach on that family. But you may think of someone that they're the most godliest person you've ever met in your life. I remember one particular family, we went out passing out tracts, soul winning, visiting. I'd preach for them, missions conferences, revivals. We'd been in meetings together. I'd had him speak at some of our conferences, regional type conferences in years past. And it was a tremendous preacher, preached the paint off the walls, the old saying goes. And I said to Mrs. Ellis a time or two, if there's ever any preacher's kids that's going to turn out right, it's that preacher's kids. They just got it all together. They cross every T, dot every I. All their ducks are in a row. God's just got his hand on them. And they just love the Lord. Just a few years after that, the preacher and his family begin to have some issues, marital issues. And literally from one day, posts that were praising God and giving the Lord all the credit and glory to his name, to the next day, the children were cursing and swearing and drinking and cussing and smoking and doping and tattooing and just about everything you could imagine. Now you listen to me tonight. That didn't happen from sunset to sunrise. That was there even when I was impressed with them. It doesn't just happen overnight. It is a gradual, step-by-step, moment-by-moment, taking for granted the blessings of God and the benefits of God, taking for granted that we have it all captured and at our fingertips, and we have it all under control. My friend, we have nothing under control. It is the God of heaven who gives us the strength and the power to do right. Marriage doesn't just deteriorate overnight. It depreciates and devalues, and struggles happen moment by moment by moment until there is an atomic bomb that goes off and it explodes and it ruins and devastates and destroys and damns. The same is true spiritually. When we stop being amazed at our spouses and amazed at our family, we lose the blessings of the benefits, and we take them for granted. But it's true spiritually as well. With our church, with our preacher, with our ministries, with our families, the moment you and I stop thinking God is the very moment we start taking God for granted. I'm talking about forgetting the blessings of God, taking things for granted. We have several young people in our church tonight, and I thank God for them. But young men, young ladies, never, 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 ever take your parents for granted. Never take for granted that you're a member and that you attend the Bible Baptist Church. Never take for granted that we have a place that is a powerhouse for a witness for Christ, where we can bring family and loved ones and sinners in to hear the gospel preached and have the opportunity to be saved. And then a call to remember and respond. David commands his own soul to remember the benefits of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And he ends the Psalm 103 with, bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes you and I have to stir up the gift within us. Remember, if I could tonight, and these statements will help you to stir up the gift and be reminded of the blessings of God. Remember where God brought you from. Remember what He brought you out of tonight. Remember what He saved you out of. Remember the prayers that He has answered in your life. Remember the doors that He has opened to your family and your ministry. Remember how He has provided for you over the years of your life and your salvation. Remember the doors that He has opened, as I said. And remember how He's protected you in dangerous circumstances and situations. Out of all the travels we've had, we've seen some of the most horrific wrecks you could ever imagine. And yet, many times, we're only seconds or a split second away from death ourselves. Remember that without Him, we are nothing tonight. Remember how He has led you through your life. Remember the servant of Abraham in Deuteronomy 8:2 and said, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee." What are some ways that will help us to remember the blessings and the benefits of God and cause us to always be on mind of what God's done and never take things for granted? Well, number one, I believe we can have daily prayer and thanksgiving for God's blessings. One of the greatest personal witnesses I've had in prayer, and God's blessed us with many opportunities in prayer, and the blessings of God has shown up, but one of the greatest times and seasons I've had in prayer is when I bowed in my knees and I began to just gradually thank God for my wife and my children and thank God for my ministry. I leave sometimes and I'm gone for days and sometimes weeks, and I come back and I'm never cease to be amazed when I drive into that 74 and a half acres and see everything that God's given to the Rock of Ages ministry. I'm overwhelmed by His blessings and benefits. One of the greatest seasons of prayer I've ever had, and I just bowed on my knees and said, "God, I want to take just a minute and thank You." And before I knew it, I'd prayed for several hours just thanking God for His benefits. Testify often of God's blessings and His goodness to you. There's a gentleman, I'll call his name, he's in heaven now. He wouldn't mind me telling you. He'd probably do it if he was here tonight anyway. And his name is Frank Washack. He was a member of Greater Portland Baptist Church, where we were members, and we worked as a Western Regional Director for our ministry. And Frank literally slept, he talked in his sleep. He witnessed in his sleep. He was not a preacher, but he preached in his sleep. He was not a priest, but he confessed in his sleep. I've heard him. We walked into prison one day, and this lady was there, and she's clearing us in. And Brother Chris, she was putting us through the ringer. She was hostile, she was critical, she was caustic, and she had nothing good for Rock of Ages Ministries. And Frank walks up beside me out of nowhere, and I'm thinking, "Get back at the end of the line where you belong, Frank." And I didn't say it. And he said, "Ma'am," he said, "has anybody ever told you you got a smile bigger than the state of Texas?" And she melted. Now, he wasn't flirting with her. He was just bragging on her. And she melted. I mean, everybody else got through. And I said, "Brother Frank, why didn't you say that to begin with?" He almost died, and right on his deathbed, within minutes of death, and God saw fit to raise him up. And he said, "God, since You raised me up off my deathbed, I'll never be ashamed of You. I'll testify for You. I'll tell anybody and everybody everywhere I go, I'll testify the grace of God and what You've done in my life." And he kept his promise to the day he died. We were at the Washington State Penitentiary, and it was not our service, it was actually the state chaplain's service, and the medium security unit would just come out of Max, and they were singing, and they were singing, and they were singing. I'm talking about an hour and a half of singing. We're only going to have about 20 minutes left to preach. And Frank, he walked up there in front of those guys, the prisoners singing, and he got right in their face. He said, "You boys going to quit singing, or are you going to let us preach today?" Wow. Now, that's not wise. And finally, the prisoners said, "Yeah, when y'all going to shut up and sit down?" I thought, well, if the prisoners behind us, yeah, when you going to shut up and sit down? Like one guy standing on the third tier or fourth tier of a prison, walking by, and it's straight down over on the other side of the little rail they had there, and this big old guy walked by. You could tell he just come out from pumping iron in the weight pile, and he's got his muscle shirt on, and he's got muscles, more muscles than two arms, and I got my whole body. He said, "Let me buy it, preacher." I said, "It'll cost you a dollar." Well, I was just joking with him. He looked at me and said, "It ain't going to cost me nothing. You hear me?" I said, "Yes, sir," and I let him buy. He walked about 10 feet, and it dawned on him. I was kidding. He turned and said, "I got you now, preacher. You're just kidding, wasn't you?" I said, "Yeah, but you weren't." Where was I at anyway? Talking about the blessings of God. Just be reminded of the blessings and testify of the goodness of God. And Frank, he'd testify everywhere he went. It didn't matter where he was. It's like the guy that was in the evangelist with the pastor, and they're out to eat, and the pastor said, "Preacher, why don't you pray for us?" And he started praying at the top of his lungs, "And dear God, bless the food. Lord, thank you for salvation." And he's shouting at the top of his lungs. And finally he got done praying, and the pastor looked at me and he said, "Dear brother, I'd just like to tell you, God's not deaf." He said, "No, he's not embarrassed either. All I'm simply saying is testify the goodness of God. Keep a record of answered prayers. Go back over your years in your life and think about the prayers that God has answered. Worship him with intent to lift up his holy name. David faced Goliath with confidence because he remembered the bear and the lion on the backside of his father's property. And when you remember what God's done, it'll fuel your faith. If you remember his faithfulness, you won't have to doubt your future. Then if I could just say this and prepare for closing. Miss Sheila, if you'd like to come to the piano. Take not for granted the ultimate gift that God's given us. Salvation. Jesus didn't just die to give us a better life. He died and gave us eternal life. The cross was not cheap. Grace was not free. It was paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:29 warns us about treading on the blood of Christ and trampling under feet and treating it as an unholy thing. Don't ever get over being saved. David ends the psalm with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." To remember his benefits is a personal decision. You can walk out of here tonight complaining or grateful, forgetful or mindful, cold or stirred up once again. God's been too good to you and I to forget. Maybe you've taken your salvation for granted. Maybe tonight we find ourselves just losing our sense of wonder and awe at God. Maybe we just stopped thinking him. And we started thinking God can't use us anymore and God's done with us. Maybe it's time to come back. And just remember the benefits that he's bestowed upon us. Maybe it's time tonight to just come to an old-fashioned altar and bow and say, "Lord, I just want to thank you again. God, I just want to remember one more time. Lord, I just want to fall in love with you all over again." Our fathers, we bow before you tonight. I don't know the needs that are here. But Lord, I know that you reminded me and how you dealt with my heart about forgetting not the benefits and the blessings that you bestowed upon us and the long list in this psalm of the goodness and the benefits you bestowed upon us.